a magnitude 7 earthquake rattling Alaska's largest city early Friday morning, swaying buildings and fraying a lot of nerves. No reports of deaths, serious injuries, or structural damage to buildings. Roads, however, took the brunt of the damage, especially to the scenic Glen Highway, the closest thing Alaska has to an interstate, and links the state's largest city to suburban communities to the north. Former Fond du Lac resident and Tyson Middle School science teacher Ted Eichheide and his wife Hetty moved to Alaska a couple of years ago, and Ted was on his way to work, as a matter of fact, when the earthquake hit, and he joins us on the phone from Alaska. And Ted, we greatly appreciate you joining us on the phone. You're okay? Everybody's okay?
Yeah. Everyone's fine and healthy, and we're feeling very fortunate about that.
All right. So we were talking just before we started to tape this interview. What time did the earthquake hit on Friday? You were telling me that you were driving into work?
Yeah. So normally I work north of Anchorage, about 40 miles in Palmer, Alaska, and my normal work time is 8:30 in the morning to 5. And this last Friday, I got a late start to work. So I had just left the house 5 minutes previous to the earthquake, and at 8:29 is when it hit. And I was on the Glen Highway, kind of on the outskirts of Anchorage, right before the last overpass before you're out of Anchorage. And it hit where I was driving highway speeds.
What did it feel like?
Well, as has been true with most earthquakes I've experienced up here, and I've experienced a few, much smaller, of course, you don't always realize what's happening at first. And in this case, I was going about 65 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, my car started wobbling, and it felt very similar to kind of like the front wheel was going to fall off, one of those things where the lug nuts weren't on tight. And so I actually thought that was what was happening, and I started pulling over, and it got worse, and I thought, okay, it's going to come off. Get ready for that bad feeling. And then it got better. It stopped wobbling. And I guess it was at that point I realized, oh, I think that was an earthquake.
So did you pull off to the side? Did you come to a complete stop, and could you feel the ground shaking?
No, I never did. It stopped before that. I was in the process of pulling over, but, you know, doing so carefully. It's a 6-lane, 3 lanes in each direction on that part of the highway. And so I was being cautious and trying to get over to the side of the road, but doing so in a controlled manner. And then it stopped. So I thought, oh, okay, earthquake. So I just kept going, went over underneath the last overpass in town. And I noticed then that the street lights that we have along the Glen Highway, it's lit all the way up to Palmer, Wasilla, were out. So I thought, okay, power outage. And then I was just going to continue to work, and I got a text from a coworker saying he wasn't coming in this morning, and he had some pictures from the inside of his house on that text, and he had a bunch of stuff on the floors. It looked pretty messy. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I should go home. So I took the first overpass exit ramp and headed back, and got home, and I'm glad I did, because I didn't have any structural damage, but I did have some stuff to clean up.
All right. Did you notice any other damage around your house?
No. The only thing that was different was when I got into my neighborhood, the power was out, but there was no obvious damage. I hadn't seen any damage on the short 5-mile section of highway I'd been on. The lights were actually the traffic lights on the off ramp were working. So I had really no ideas on how big the earthquake was. I just knew that it caused some people to have issues in their house. And indeed, when I got in the house, my house. You know, we had a number of things on the floor, anything that was up high. So our cupboard, we had some canned goods in there in the kitchen. A lot of those were on the floor. I had a couple of beer growlers on the fridge. They were on the floor, and they're glass, and they didn't break. That was amazing. Had some wine glasses hanging in an under cabinet rack, and they were all broken. But other than a few picture frames and those four wine glasses and a couple other odds and ends, we didn't really have any other damage.
All right. Did you get a chance? Did you get a chance over the weekend to drive around and to survey the area to see what other kind of damage there was, and what did you find?
I did drive a little bit on Saturday and Sunday. In general, authorities, local authorities, didn't want you driving, but I went out for coffee Saturday, and I just kind of wanted to see what things were like. And I didn't go all that far, 5 miles, but, my coffee shop was open. I was missing a large window by the door that apparently had fallen and broken, but they were open, and I didn't see any damage. Everything seemed to be kind of normal, but then, obviously, there were a number of pictures on social media, and then driving to work today, I did see we had several little road changes, detour changes, because there was some pretty major damage on parts of the Glen Highway that I saw.
I've seen some of the pictures of the road just crumbled. Now, you're a geologist. Magnitude 7 earthquake. How big is that?
It's fairly large. And what I mean by that is, It has a lot of energy, and in a lot of, say, less developed countries, there have been a lot more damage, probably a lot more loss of life from homes collapsing onto people. Here, we've been through these earthquakes. Alaska's a seismically active place, and, of course, we're very famous for having the largest earthquake ever in the United States. That was the 1964 Good Friday earthquake, and at least the largest in Alaska's history, in known history. But so we've done a lot of things with just how we build highways and housing codes, and by and large, we were very fortunate. So even though the 64 earthquake was much more powerful, 9.2 on the Richter scale, it also was a learning lesson for us, caused a lot of damage. And so it was amazing how well we're doing. And I'd like to credit that to things we've learned and some of the things that we've done with engineering and code requirements that meant that, I'm back at work today.
All right. So a lot of it is all about timing and where you are. How close were you to the epicenter of the earthquake, and what would have happened if you had left, let's say, 20 minutes earlier and had been 5 miles down the road or 10 miles down the road when the earthquake had hit?
Yeah, well, I think I would have been okay. I was only, approximately 7 miles, 7 to 10 miles from the epicenter. But, the good thing is where I was, there's a lot of bedrock underneath, shallow soils. And so what we find is the most damage is going to be anywhere where you have a lot of soil, or it's over a wetland, or it's near the coast where you have very little bedrock and a lot of marine sediments, because they tend to liquefy, act like a liquid in these big shakes. So... The one thing that I've already prepared for is, because I do work 40 miles away from Anchorage, and there's a couple key bridges that I have to go over, and if they're down, I'm not going back and forth. I have made arrangements with my neighbor, because my wife is out of town a lot, and we have three dogs, that my neighbor has our key, and she's prepared to take care of our animals and our house in case I'm stuck away for a long period of time. So I am happy that I had a late start that day, and I'm glad I was able to get back because my dogs are pretty shook up, and it's just nice knowing that the house is okay and I was able to attend to things there.
All right, and I don't know how realistic some of those shows on cable TV are about living in Alaska, but is there any concern about running out of supplies at grocery stores?
A lot of us, you know, like, for instance, my wife and I, we have an earthquake kit. And we have several gallons of water in storage in our garage. We have our camper that we can, in case we have to evacuate our house, we can live in our camper for short periods of time. So I guess, you know, one of the things I've learned about Alaska that's really different from Wisconsin is there's a sense of you need to be able to take care of yourself here. You know, we don't have a lot of police. We don't have salt trucks. you just have to be able to take care of yourself. There's a really strong mentality of that. And so, like, for instance, I have lots of extra dog food, and we have extra food. So, you know, a lot of us kind of adopt that thinking of, you know, last frontier, be ready to take care of yourself. And for the most part, I've done that with just even stuff I have in my car. You know, winter survival kits in your car are pretty important up here. So, I guess there was some runs at the grocery stores, but I went to Costco on Saturday as part of my surveillance work of what was happening in town, and it was just a normal day at Costco. They had lots of stuff, and yeah.
No hoarding of food.
No, nothing that I saw. Yeah.
And are you concerned about aftershocks, or have there already been aftershocks?
Well, there's been lots of them. Most of them you can't feel. But I have a little earthquake app on my phone, and it alerts me when there's an earthquake within 50 miles of my location, and, of course, this one was. So I get all the little notices, and I felt several of them. I've been pretty good with my emotional response to them. I don't have a fear response, but I did check on my neighbors on Friday, and many of them, well, one in particular was quite frightened by the earthquake and the aftershocks, which one occurred while I was talking to her, you know, did frighten her, and it has frightened a lot of people. But you know, I think I kind of missed out on the main earthquake because I was in a car, and, you know, your car's suspension absorbs some of that. I would have liked to have been on the ground, I guess, just feeling it. You know, as a scientist, they're pretty fascinating. But I've been pretty good with the aftershocks. But my dog sense them, and it really bothers them. So that's the only concern I've had.
And is this just not as damaging because it's Alaska? I mean, if this had been in San Francisco, would it have been a deadly earthquake?
Well, I think California has some pretty good earthquake codes. I've been to San Francisco, and I went on a seismic tour there once. And they do have really good earthquake codes there. I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with the size of the earthquake. This one involved a crack in the rock, a fault about 12 miles long, about 25 miles underneath the surface of the earth. The Good Friday earthquake here of 1964 was over 100 miles long crack, developing much closer to the surface of the earth, so, you know, a lot more energy release. So I think, you know, in places that have modern economies that have earthquakes, hopefully they have codes in place that I think San Francisco would be okay, more people, but you know, countries that don't have those codes or don't have modern housing construction with earthquake proofing technologies, I think, well, we hear about those all the time, and unfortunately a lot of people die.
All right. Ted Eichheid in Alaska, and with the earthquake on Friday, getting through it, things are slowly getting back to normal. Fortunately, again, no serious injuries, no fatalities, but a lot of road work ahead for the crews in Alaska. Ted, we greatly appreciate you joining us on the telephone, and happy holidays to you and your wife, Hetty.
Yeah, same to everyone back in Wisconsin, and I hope everyone can come visit us someday, because Alaska is a beautiful place, even if we do have earthquakes.